Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, well, an administrator of the synagogue and a bleeding woman. They look to him for help, for all their good, for refuge in their time of need. They trust and believe in him with their whole heart. They cling to him alone as God, God for all, and most especially for them. Large crowds, sickness, 24/7, 365, 12-year-old blood stains, and yes, not even death, keep Jairus and a woman away from their God. They trust the promise from Lamentations that we just heard in the Old Testament reading. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. They both believe that the Lord is their portion, and therefore they will wait on him and for him. And that the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. That's what they believe. But here's the shocker of all shockers, the Lord in whom they believe, in whom they put all their trust, to whom they look for all their good, is none other than the preacher, Jesus. Yes, that's right, Jesus, the same Jesus who a few weeks ago we heard his family was ready to lock him up in a rubber room and put his arms in a straitjacket for life because he was troubling people with this Messiah mania of his. Yes, this is the same Jesus who we heard a few weeks ago who was accused by the religious bigwigs as being possessed by Satan, Mark 3. Yes, this is the very same Jesus that the Gerasenes ordered out of their county because after he performed the exorcism and put the demons in the pigs ran down into the lake and were killed. Father Jairus and the bleeding woman, they cling to God, Lord God in the flesh, Jesus, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. All the fullness of the deity dwells in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the "you shall have no other gods before me" first commandment God. Jesus is the first commandment God whom sinners are to fear, to love, and to trust above all things. And so it's Father Jairus who seeks God, finds him, and as the text says, falls at his feet, and he prays, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she can be healed and live." The hemorrhaging woman who has suffered so much, even under the care of the doctors, so that her blood flow got worse, not better, she audaciously dares to seek God. And so she comes up from behind. She touches his cloak, because she thinks, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And incredibly, she is. The 12 years of endless hemorrhaging ends. She is very precious to him. And so she asks, "Who touched my clothes?" He looks for the person who dared to put all her trust in him. And in her fear and trembling, she falls at his feet and tells him the entire truth. "I touched you." And then Jesus unloads another shocker. "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Did you notice what he called her? Daughter. Not woman, not honey, not missy. This is huge. She's part of the family now. The family of redeemed sinners, for whom he has come to save through his ministry, his service for sinners that climaxes on that Friday that we all call good. Good, because on that Friday, hanging from the tree, he can't stop bleeding. He hemorrhages. He bleeds out from his head, his hands, his feet, and his side. The blood flows and flows and flows and flows. Divine blood, the very blood of God for her, for you, and for the world, for her cleansing, for your purification, for your salvation. As 1 John says, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Along the way, as Jesus takes his time for this daughter, Jairus gets the word that his little daughter has died. Can you imagine the heartache? If only Jesus would have hurried and not been bothered by the woman, but now it's too late. And so, why bother the teacher anymore? There's really nothing more that can be done except start planning for a funeral. Jesus, of course, pays no attention to such talk. He will have his say. He will have the final word, and not the messengers of bad news, and certainly not death itself. Don't be afraid, Jesus tells Jairus. Only believe. Yeah, yes, that's right. Jesus says to Jairus, look, here's the one thing in the world that I want from you. It's spelled F-A-I-T-H. Yes, trust me, Jairus, even with your little girl's death. You can trust me for that and for even more. And then they're off to Jairus' home. Loads of commotion, everyone crying their eyes out. And perhaps you know exactly what that's like. I do. I will never forget that day in 2009, June 1st, that hot summer afternoon, when we were at the baseball field in Elmwood, and Chris Ida ran over a fence pole, jumped out of her car, and wailed out loud, Robin, Jake is dead, he's been killed in a crash. The shock. And then we witnessed the immense and enormous heartache of a mother who had lost her son. And so too with Jairus. And there stands Jesus, God in the flesh, Jesus. And he will have his say. And he does. Listen, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead. She's sleeping. Now, what in the world are you going to do with a sermon like that? Especially when the child is dead as a doornail. Stone cold dead. We are to believe it. We are to trust it, as the very word of him who spoke at the beginning when he said, let there be, and it was. The child is not dead, but asleep. And most of the people there laughed at the sermon and the idiot who preached it. Everyone knows that dead is dead. Dead is not sleep. There's no chance of waking up when you're dead. But Jesus is not joking. He's in no mood for that. He meant what he said, because the little girl is very precious to him. Death does not have its way with her. Jesus does. Death does not have the final say over her. Jesus does. And so he puts out all those whose crying has morphed into unbelieving, ridiculing, disparaging, riotous laughter. And he invites mom and dad and Peter, James, and John to go with him into the girl's room, and he takes her, the corpse. Can you imagine that? You weren't supposed to do that, remember? You touch a dead person, it makes you unclean. He goes right up to the dead corpse, this little girl, and he touches her. And then he speaks to her in the language that she can understand, her own language, Aramaic. Talitha kumi. Precious little girl, I say to you, get up. She too is his daughter. And his words do exactly what they say. And the text says, immediately she stands up and she walks around the room and they give her a sandwich. And then the strict orders to keep all of this under wraps. Don't speak of it. Isn't that odd? Why? Because the biggest miracle of all is yet to come. I spoke of it earlier. The blood of Calvary. Bloody Good Friday. The divine blood that leaks and oozes out of his body for our forgiveness and cleansing from all our sin, where death is swallowed up in his sacrificial death, where death is put to death in his dying, for he is indeed the resurrection and the life for you. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has reached out and he has touched you with his blood in the water of your baptism. He's given you a new name, sons and daughters in the family of God himself. Jesus really gives you his Good Friday body and blood into your mouths for the cleansing of all the impurity of your sin. And from there finally Jesus allows us to speak, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death His Good Friday death that counts for you until he comes in glory on the last day. Brothers and sisters, there's no need to be afraid. Jesus can be trusted with anything and everything. All your sicknesses, all your diseases, all your sin, and yes, even with your dying. For it's only a sleep. The grave is only a bed. And on the last day, Jesus will talitha kumi you too. He will take you by the hand and he'll say, wake up, sleepyheads. Wake up. It's resurrection day, just as I promised. Can you imagine the joy and the astonishment then? I can't wait. Because, as Lamentation said, because of the Lord Jesus' great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord Jesus is our portion, and so we will wait for him. In the name of Jesus.